This is Who's Talkin' on Fox Sports 910. Diehard Wahoo Frank Maloney and former Wahoo basketball standout Jim Hobbo Hobgood break down the Cavaliers each week by bringing you inside the game and behind the scenes of UVA sports with all-star interviews and unique insight that only Frank and Hobbo can provide. Who's Talkin' is brought to you by Ortho Virginia, LeClaire Ryan Law, TGI Fridays, Town Bank of Richmond, TheSaber.com, Richmond Allergy and Asthma Specialists, Hildrup Moving and Storage, Kelleher Heating and Air, the Virginia Athletics Foundation, Lemaire Restaurant at the Jefferson Hotel, Holly Martin Partners, and West Hampton Cleaners, with special contributions from Sarge Reynolds and Buford Scott. Now, Who's Talking is on Fox Sports 910. Here's Frank and Hobbo.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's Christmas week, Hobbo.
Merry Christmas edition of Who's Talking.
I can't stand it.
And we're in a pretty good mood. The Who's had a big win on Saturday. Football program, I think, is headed in the right direction.
Oh, yeah.
So,
if we can ever figure out who's going to play defensive line coach for Virginia, we're going to be all right.
Hey, we got a new guy in town,
new
apparently.
New guy. You know, apparently Bronco Mendenhall decided that he was going to swap Sean for Shane. I don't know why the coach at Navy wanted to go back to Navy because...
Well, he may have thought the head coach was leaving for BYU, and
yeah.
when the head coach decided to stay at Navy, maybe he decided to stay at Navy. Regardless, we trust that Bronco has assembled a staff that he has every confidence in, and now, with their bowl game over, he's... 24/7 UVA football.
They're going to kick butt. I'd use other language, but this is a family show. All right.
Speaking of family.
Family.
We neglected to do something last week. Your late brother John, would have been his birthday on December 14th, and we want to acknowledge that and give our best wishes in regards to not only you, but the entire Maloney family. He would have been...
John would have been 51 last Monday. And, between my bad back and the meds I had to take for my back, we just got a little sidetracked last Monday night. And
recently we forgot to mention your birthday of November 30th.
Can you stand it?
You turned 67, I think. You don't look a day over 55, no.
Come on, man. Cheap shot as usual, but
speaking of birthdays, it's my birthday tomorrow.
We're gonna pile it on next week.
39 years old tomorrow.
Hey, look, it's amazing what they can do with that cryogenic freeze thing. But we have a wonderful show tonight. Tonight we have Chris Graham of the Augusta Free Press joining us in the first half hour to talk a little football and the coaching staff and projections for next year and. Recruiting and all kinds of good stuff. And we may blend in some basketball as well, but we're excited. In the bottom of the hour, we're going to have none other than who, Hobbo?
Big, and we do mean big, Ted Jeffries will be joining us. Ted's probably in his fourth or fifth year now as the analyst on the Virginia Radio Network, so it'll be interesting. The funny thing now is with almost every game is on TV, so we all see the games, but we don't all necessarily see him in person with the close proximity that Ted has. So it'll be interesting to get his insights on the team. What, 10 games into the season now? Third of the way through the regular season.
So, everyone should know that Big Ted Jeffries, he was a consummate team player, best known maybe for his rebounding, but he had a clever little left-hand hook off
the
glass.
He's on my list of all-time best left-handers at the University of Virginia, headed by... Me.
Close competition with John Crotty.
Just close. Very close. Maybe just a smidge.
I think you edged him out.
What?
You were a little bit taller than Crotty, so I might have to give it to
John,
you.
John played pretty well. Yeah, so maybe he, yeah, but nevertheless.
Just overlooked the 10-year NBA career, I mean, what kind of game did he have?
I always say, since it's my list, I'll always be on it as long as I'm still living, which I haven't been feeling. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, we're excited about tonight's show. It's going to be a lot of fun. The Wahoos in basketball did move up from 8th to 5th, so this is the highest ranking they've had this season to date, and that's Virginia's 5th, both in the coaches' poll, as well as, obviously, the all-important AP poll.
Yeah, we had some teams, Kentucky, Duke, and Iowa State, lost on Saturday, so that gave Virginia a little move-up room.
Well, Iowa State and Purdue also lost, which...
Yeah, they were behind us, but nevertheless, certainly a ranked team. But, in the ranking, you know, I mean, it probably is more meaningful to the fans than it is the players and the coaches because they're kind of focused on the next game. But it's still nice to know that you're in the conversation of the top 10 teams in the country.
It's a big deal. at this time of the year, it's not a big deal. But, Virginia and North Carolina at number 5 and number 7 in both polls represent the top 10. It's interesting that Duke is 15th in the AP poll, but somehow they're 10th in the coaches' polls. So that says something interesting to me. And also Louisville's in the top 20, as is Miami.
Yeah, Miami.
Sneaky good.
Yeah, watch Miami. They're a nice ball club, and I think Miami's a team that we play in February down there in Coral Gables. I'm not sure whether we play them at home or not, but that – certainly going to be a challenging game on the road, but as I say, a lot of water will run under the bridge between now and February when we play the Hurricanes down there. I guess the focus of Tony Bennett and others right now are the California Golden Bears. 9 o'clock tomorrow night, and Cal is 9-2 coming in, and as you said, I think they were picked second in their conference, the Pac-12.
Looming on the horizon is those Bears. You know, Cal is preseason picked number 2 in the Pac-12, right behind Arizona, and they've got a bunch of players that, quite honestly, are going to be kind of tough. That's going to be a star-laden team that just hadn't really figured out maybe how to play together. And they've got a good coach. The coach used to be at Tennessee, and he's dangerous. Quanzo Martin,
right?
And Darius Thompson chose not to follow him out there to Cal when he left Tennessee. He chose to come to Virginia, and that's a good thing because I think we can all agree that Darius Thompson has been a real asset
ends
of the floor.
Yeah, we're starting to see why Tony Bennett was excited about bringing him into the program. He's got some offensive skills, maybe not quite as good a shooter, although he made a couple of big threes over the weekend against Villanova, but defensively and his athletic ability is just off the charts. So I think he's going to be a key contributor for the next 3 years for the Hoos.
Well, he can sky, that's for sure. Good news. Let's do a little intro here for our friend Chris Graham. First off, Chris is the editor of the Augusta Free Press. He's been covering UVA athletics for over 20 years now. He's a 1994 UVA alum, and he co-authored Mad About You, which is basically four decades of basketball at U-Haul. I read it last year, finally. I was late to that party and had a lot of good laughs and chuckles, and it's well-written. It's a lot of fun, and strangely, Jim Hobgood was interviewed several times in the book, and I didn't understand that, but it was...
Well, I think that's why it got on the bestseller list.
Chris, are you there?
I'm here, and yeah, Jim, we owe you one there, buddy.
Well, absolutely, no question about it. Well, thanks for joining us tonight. Did I hear Frank say that you had gone out to see the bowl game or something, or I'm off target on that? But anyway, give us your early assessment on Bronco.
Early assessment on Bronco is with the meeting we got to have with him when he was introduced to the university community a couple of weeks ago. The first thing that struck me about him was that he made a point to go around and shake hands with all of us ink-stained wretches. He shook hands. He made a point to introduce himself to all the writers, all the folks who were there in attendance, and just say, "Hi, I'm Bronco. Nice to meet you." And as many of these kind of things that I've covered, meeting coaches, new coaches, and that kind of thing, I've never seen anyone go out of their way to do that. And I think it spoke a lot to the kind of person he is. He's a humble guy, it seems like. We got to see that in that hour that day when he was introducing himself to the UVA community. But also,
right, question. Do you tell me that Al Groh didn't do that?
Al, for the fans listening out there, no, Al didn't do that.
And for that matter, Mike didn't do it either. I just think Bronco is just an exuberant guy. I mean, he is so all in about being a head coach, and he takes it very seriously, from what I can tell. And I mean, his 99-43 record or something speaks to that, Hobo. And
My wife always says it's good to have friends that buy ink by the barrel.
And, you know, Bronco, too, he really struck me as the kind of guy, as I'm listening to him talk and seeing him respond to the different questions that were thrown at him, I'm thinking, you know, if he wasn't a head football coach, a major conference football coach, he would really work well as a management professor, if that makes sense to the listeners out there. He's a guy who is an expert in building organizations and management philosophies. And if this happens, he's also really well-versed in X and O's of football. But he's not the kind of guy who's going to espouse to you in great detail the theories of his defense or talk about how you move the ball down the field. In fact, that whole Howard press conference he was talking with us, it was all about his philosophies of how to motivate young men, to get them to work harder, to reward efforts, building an organization from the ground up, building a fan base from the ground up. You know, he didn't talk about his 3-3-5 defense. He didn't talk about his philosophy with moving the ball down the field, you know, how he's used dual threat quarterbacks and pocket quarterbacks. None of that came up. It was all about how he wants to build his organization from the ground up, and that really struck me.
You know, it's very interesting that you say that. He clearly could be a combination business strategist or a motivational speaker. I mean, if you were watching that either in person or on replay on VirginiaSports.com, you couldn't help but be taken with his style and his presence, and you know just the fact that he named his three kids the way he did. I mean, you know, what were they? Reader, Cutter, and Slacker, or you know, they were interesting names. And you know, the kids already had on their V Saber sweatshirts and things, and I just thought it was very funny the way he introduced him, and he called his wife a frontiers woman, and he said he wouldn't be anything without her, and you know, I just loved that whole feel, didn't you?
Yeah, and he even says, you know, he talks about how 90 minutes a day is sort of his time, where he works out and does a variety of different things to keep himself in shape. I think with Hank Kerr from the AP threw in, well, you know, during that time, he was still preparing, of course, for the bowl game at BYU, and then, you know, at least had one eye on Virginia, one eye on BYU, and I'm sure it was more than one eye on BYU. But Hank made the point that, hey, you know, for the next couple of weeks, that 90 minutes a day is going to go out the window, and Bronco very quickly, very forcefully said, no, that's non-negotiable. and it talks about what a guy he is, too. He knows that discipline within himself and discipline within his organization is what's going to help him turn this program around. He turned the BYU program around in a similar situation. They were 15-21 his 3 years, the 3 years before he got to be the head coach. By second year, they had won 11 games. And you don't do that by accident. You do that by building things foundation by, you know, build a foundation, build block by block to get to a certain point. He's done this before, but he does it with himself, too, and with his family, as you mentioned. He seems like a very organized man. And maybe a departure from the previous regime in that sense.
You know, the thing that struck me, speaking of the bowl game, Chris, you know, watching it, it was almost unbelievable. The first 7 or 8 minutes where they turn it over five times, give up five touchdowns. You know, a lot of kids and a lot of teams at that stage would have thrown in a towel. Thing that had to impress you as well as me was the resilience and the never say quit attitude of the Brigham Young team.
Oh, gosh, no question. You're down 35-0 in the first quarter. And the way it happened, too, I mean, balls being tipped in the air, fumbles, I mean, things that, you know, if one of those happens a game, it's usually too much. And then they all happen in the first quarter. And then, of course, yeah, the coaching staff, you know, on paper is checked out. So then you're thinking, wow, these kids are going to be playing for another coach next year. The coaches are going to be coaching another team next year. It would have been easy for the whole group to have given up and that score to have gone 70-0. And instead, they kept their wits about them. You know, aside from those turnovers, that BYU defense did a great job against that Utah offense that had put up some numbers in the Pac-12 this year, had really put some numbers up on some really good defenses out there, and made that game manageable to a point where, yeah, they were in that game in the fourth quarter. And there are very few, if any, teams out there that would be down 35-0, not just in any situation, much less with players getting ready to play for another coach, the coaches getting ready to coach another group of players. But they stuck together and made that very interesting. And that speaks to that discipline once again.
totally agreed here. We are speaking with Chris Graham, the editor of the Augusta Free Press. Chris, talk about the news today, this late afternoon. Shane Hunter will now be the defensive line coach to complete the Cavalier coaching staff for Bronco Mendenhall. Apparently, Sean Nua had a change of heart and decided to stay at the Naval Academy. What do you make of this, and just what are your thoughts?
You know, seeing that he decided to stay at Navy is not surprising in one sense. You know, Sean Nua has been there for a while, and you know, we've seen other coaches make these kind of moves. I think, you know, Frank Beamer, the reports have always been he left Chapel Hill about 20 years ago, having, I think it was 1997, having told the folks in Carolina he was going to be their new coach, and then had a change of heart between there and Blacksburg. I think, you know, the reports have always been that Mike Krzyzewski accepted the job with the Los Angeles Lakers and decided to change his mind in 2004 and stay at Duke. So if they can be lured, anybody can be lured by the lure of home and staying in a familiar situation. And as far as what Virginia gets out of it, getting Shane Hunter, he's a guy who's worked on Broncos staff out of BYU as a grad assistant the past 3 years. He knows exactly how the 3-3-5 works. And, you know, because Bronco didn't talk about it during his press conference, he was more focused on the management side. You know, I look at that 3-3-5 defense that's really oriented, and Bronco was one of the forerunners of it back when he was still a defensive coordinator before he became a head coach. Three down linemen, three linebackers, five defensive backs as sort of your base package. He's one of the guys who was really, you know, out way ahead of the curve. A lot of folks out west use that defense to try to slow down passing offenses. But it's a very unique defense. It kind of reminds me of football's version of Tony Bennett's pack line. It's something we will do differently than anybody else does in the ACC, certainly. And having a guy like Shane Hunter, who has coached in this system under Bronco for 3 years at BYU, it'll be great having him, you know, make that transition over, because, you know, the defensive linemen have unique responsibilities in this defense that they have not had under the current the past regime with Mike Lennon and his group. So it'll be good to have someone who's very knowledgeable about it teaching it to these guys.
All right, we're going to carry that thought over to the other side after this quick break. Chris, stay with us.
Yeah.
And our listeners, we're going to keep Chris online and come back to you in just a few minutes after we thank our sponsors.